Good morning, everybody. It's Ben Baker. It is December 27th, 2017, and welcome to the last Your Living Brand.live show of the year. It has been a phenomenal year, and I am so looking forward to 2018, but had to get one more episode in before the end of the year, and thank you very much for joining me. Now, this show is all about what makes you unique. What makes you unique as a brand? What makes you different? What makes you special? Who are you? What do you do? Why should people care? Who is your audience? And what are you doing special for them? What are you doing for those people that are champions of your brand, the people that actually are with you, the people that engage with you, the people that buy from you? What are you doing to make them feel special? And what are you making for them to understand that you find them valuable as much as they find you valuable? Now, every week we explore another person. We take a look at a different company and we find out what makes them unique and different. And this show is no different. This week, we're going to be interviewing Gary Bizzo. Now, Gary is a social media rock star. He'll prove it to you. Now, he's got a great story to tell. And I'm going to let him tell you in a minute, but I just want to tell you a little bit about me, first of all. My name is Ben Baker, and my company is Your Brand Marketing. Now, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, what do? We consult, we teach, and we speak on brand, message, market, vision, and value. We get people to understand who you are, what you do, why you do it, and why they should care. And if they care, they'll engage with you. And they'll find you valuable and they won't find you a commodity. And that's what it's all about. It's understanding what's that special little thing that you do that other people don't that makes you different. So I'm going to put on the interview right now with Gary. Sit back, enjoy, and I'll be back to say goodbye in a minute. And welcome to the show, Gary. Thank you very much for being on the show today. It is a pleasure having you for my last episode of 2017. So I had to have the famous Gary Bizzo on the show for the last episode. I couldn't get you as my first guest, so I had to have you as my last guest of the year. So thanks for taking the time to be on the show, Gary.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you. We're not going to talk about the couple of times that technology got in the way with me.
Hey, technology is our friend and our enemy, isn't it? I mean, we look at it, we sit there and say, you know what? Today, technology is going to work. Everything that we're going to do is going to be perfect. And then another day comes up and you do the exact same thing in the exact same way and nothing works. So well, I know I'm sure we've all had those days. I'm sure every single listener of mine has had those days.
I know I can tie my shoes correctly every day. I know that for a fact.
Well, that's why you have Velcro, so you don't have to.
Well, how are you today?
I'm good. You know what? It's been a great year. You know, it's been a year of rebirth. It's been a year of rebrand and re-messaging. And I think that it's been an exciting year. And I think that this show has been phenomenal in being able to, you know, to represent what I truly believe. I mean, what I believe is every brand is unique. Every brand is different. Every brand has a story to tell. So today, we're going to tell your story.
Oh, wonderful.
You know, so I want to find out, tell me about the great Gary Bizzo. Tell me, you know, you've got a brand new book out. You know, you're a social media rock star. Oh, there he is. He's got, oh, it's beautiful. Social media rock star. I told you, that's the name of the book. And you know what? I want to find out more about you, what you do, why you do it, who your audience is, and you know what? Why do they find you valuable?
Jeez. Should I answer all that at once or?
Yeah, you know what? Take it.
Look, at I've every 10 years I pivot. And some people may not know what that means, but I actually switched my business around. And I went from being an arms dealer back in when I was 30 to an ad agency to a project manager to an incubator runner. Now I'm into private finance, and amidst all that, for the last 10 years, I've been doing social media. So social media is, people say, well, how many hours do you work a week? And I say, well, I try not to work more than 10 or 12 hours a week with my businesses. And they say, well, does that include social media? And I said, well, wait a minute. No, I don't consider social media work. Oh, I guess you better add another 20 hours.
or 30.
Or 30, yeah. Yeah.
No, but when you, I mean, when you're on social media, I mean, you joke about it. I mean, you know, but social media is a way and is the way right now that so many people are communicating. So many people are finding out what's new, what's interesting, what's going on in the world, how they should, you know, how they should act, how they should react. That, you know what, if you're not paying attention to your social media channels, people are not going to pay attention to you. So what are the things that you're doing right now to be able to, I mean, you have between a couple of different feeds, I think you have what, about 500,000 followers right now?
600,000.
So what are the things that you do on a regular basis to be able to engage those type audiences, to keep those type of, you know, people active and to keep those people interested and wanting to hear about what's coming up next in your world?
I got my serious face on now.
Well, don't do that.
Well, you know, it's all about engagement, but you can't engage with people that you're not relating to. So most of my followers, believe it or not, are I've got a demographic down. They're typically men, 32 to 52. Uh-huh. They're high wealth individuals, meaning they're 150,000 or more. Entrepreneurs, they own their own homes. They buy premium products. So I know who I'm talking to when I'm online. They like stupid things like business quotes. Go figure. I put a business quote up. I call it biz quote with a hashtag.
Right.
And I get total response from that. It sounds ludicrous, but people just love to hear quaint sayings. Mm-hmm. I give them information about the things I'm doing. I tell them about my articles that are writing for equities.com. I tell them about new business things that are coming down the pike. So there's all kinds of things like that. It's about content, and everybody's saying content is king, and it really is.
Yeah. But it's not just content. As you said, you have a demographic.
Yeah.
You know who you're going after. You're not going after the mompreneurs. You're not going after the AARP people. You're going after a very specific demographic. And you're speaking to them in language that they can relate to, showing them things that they care about and they find valuable. And that's why they keep connecting with you.
Well, they connect with, I mean, if you think about it, it's like a realtor going after other realtors. And my demographic are entrepreneurs like I am. So what do I get out of that? You know, I get to share content, but it's unlikely I get a lot of work from those people.
Right.
But I can make change, and I can tell those people that, hey, this is the product I use, and I love it. You should check it out. Mm-hmm. Now, I just signed up with an ad agency a personal brand rep in Toronto the other day to see what I can do on that field. You know, it's I have a brand, so why not use it?
Absolutely. No, I should introduce you to Mark Fittleman. We had Mark on the show a few weeks ago, actually probably more like a couple months ago. And Mark does influencer marketing. That's what he does. You know, wow. He is the guy down in San Diego that has his pulse on the influencer market. And, you know, what they do is they be able to take people like you and give you more of an ability to use the conversation that you're already having with these people because you've built a level of trust. Mm-hmm. And be able to use that trust to be able to, you know, monetize it. And that's what it is at your level is the fact that you've built the level of trust. And that's key because if people don't trust you, if people don't believe you, if the people don't think you're authentic, they're not going to follow you and certainly not at those levels.
And that's why I do have some big clients, you know, like Microsoft and PayPal and 3M. I mean, they hire me to get the message out for them.
Right.
And it's not a general message. It's very specific messages that they want to put out about a product launch or something like 3M did for business people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so how do you share messages today? Social media.
Right.
Guerrilla marketing. I mean, remember back in the days when we used to create brochures and all that stuff and hire TV personalities and radio ads? Mm-hmm. I could never get into that level because of the cost. But now it's like we reach more than in one of these than you do on a radio station in Vancouver.
Well, absolutely. It's all about, you know, utilizing mediums to what they're designed for. And the internet and video, I mean, 2017 was the year of video. 2018 will absolutely be the year of video.
Yep.
And people are looking for advice and information that they can grab in usable chunks and be able to repurpose, reshare, and be able to not only create value for themselves, but also be the people that are sharing value to others. So if they can take, you know, the content from this show or from others and pass it on to other people, you know what? All of a sudden they seem valuable. So it's being able to provide people with things that are shareable and things and information that makes sense to them and is going to make sense to the people that they influence. So it's that's the beauty of social media. That's the beauty of creating, you know, video and, you know, any type of social media marketing is the fact that it has the opportunity to go viral if you're giving people things that they think are valuable and things that they can easily share.
Exactly, Ben. You got it. And it's fascinating to me, and I think we're so fortunate to be at this exact time, because I don't want to go back to those old days with high overheads and offices downtown. I mean, I had to have a 5,000 square foot office downtown Vancouver.
Absolutely. We all did.
I had to. It didn't make any sense. People wouldn't deal with you unless you had a big office with a fancy boardroom.
That's now right. It's big leather couches in the waiting room.
I mean, I've got two virtual offices, meaning I can go to an office downtown, but I can say I have an office, but I rent them as I go.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I don't need a place. In fact, one of the companies I'm working with, there's eight of us, there's eight partners, and we don't have an office. We all work from home. It's like when we get together for monthly meetings, we just rent a, you know, one of these office spaces down there for a couple hours.
Right. And, you know, and that's another thing is that technology has allowed for that to happen. I mean, remember the days where, you know, you were tied to the office because you didn't even have a pager. You were tied to the office because you had to wait for that phone call to actually come in. And email was non-existent. I mean, those are the days that, you know, you and I both remember quite well. And it's a matter of looking back today and sit there going, where would we be today without our cell phones? Well, we'd still be tied to the office. And we couldn't go on, you know, business trips and be able to do things because people couldn't reach us. You know, and it's a matter of you need to be able to use that technology to your advantage, but also to your client's advantage, but not have them, you know, rule you, but be accessible when they need you.
My wife thinks I'm way too accessible. I mean, I'll answer any phone call, and I get them at all hours of the day and night because my followers are from all over the world. And they just pick up the phone. They don't think that I'm Vancouver, you know, Pacific Standard Time. And that's a problem. I mean, how many people did I run into at the mall yesterday watching their phones as they're walking?
Probably all of them.
Half a dozen?
Yeah.
So I started putting my foot out and tripping them. You know, it's like it's starting to get too much.
Yeah.
You know, and like anybody, I don't know how to tune out. If I go camping, I think that would be a major disaster for me unless I had a satellite phone.
Uh-huh.
And the things I do, it doesn't have to get done at midnight or 8 o'clock at night. So like I can work at my own schedule. So why are we tied to it?
Right. No, you know, we need to take a look at technology and sit there and say, how does it work best for us? You know, yeah. I have a friend of mine, and I've said this before on the show. She's got a out of office on her email every single day. that says, I check my email first thing in the morning and afternoon. And she does. She blocks half an hour to check email twice a day.
And that's it.
And that's it. And you know what? We can do that. And I think that the more we as a society can look at ourselves and sit there and go, use technology to benefit you, not to be able to benefit everybody. It's important to be in touch today. It's important to be accessible. But yeah, you don't need to be accessible 24/7, 365.
Well, I don't agree with that woman, because I'll tell you why. I paid $20,000 to this marketing guy.
Yes.
About 4 years ago. And I expected him to be at my beck and call. And at Friday at noon, he turned his phone off, and he wouldn't get back to anybody till Monday at 5 at the end of the day. And I asked him about it, and he says, well, I don't need to work. You know, I check my phone messages at 5 in the afternoon, and I plan the answers for the next day. And I said, that's not acceptable. You're fired. He got totally choked with me.
Yeah.
But he didn't learn anything. But I think I live in a society where you have to respond. I complained to Canadian Tire. For those who don't know, it's a huge Canadian chain. And I complained at 11:30 at night. I think it was a Chardonnay effect. You know, I had my two glasses of Chardonnay and I was choked about something.
So off you go to social media to complain about it. Yeah.
Well, I usually complain without drinking, but this night, it was Sunday night at 11:30, and I got a text message on Twitter at 12:02.
Wow.
From some guy in Toronto answering the Canadian Tire Twitter account. Now you tell me that. And you know what he said? He said, thank you so much for your comment. I will have the general manager call you in the morning. And he called me at 9 o'clock. And by 11, the whole situation was cleared up.
But that's putting systems and processes in place to deal with that. I mean, I have on my out of office, and this is something I'm going to start. I check email twice a day, but I'm always available by phone.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
And I think what it is that if we're looking at our Twitter, our LinkedIn, our Facebook, our email, our this or that, the other thing constantly, how do we get anything done? If you can sit there and say, I'm accessible by phone. It's amazing to me. That way it allows me to concentrate. And if the phone rings, I pick it up. I don't have to constantly be looking to find out, you know, which of the 12 different mediums have somebody tried to get back at me at.
You know, I think you're right about the phone, because 4 months ago, my closest friend told me, he said, I'm really pissed off with everybody. You know, they're using text for everything these days. What happened to the good old conversation over the phone thing?
Yeah.
That was 4 months ago. Guess what he's doing now? He's texting me. And now he's an old fart like I am. And, and it's kind of like he was true. It was accurate. I don't like texting. I like my phone upright and the buttons are too small. If I turn it on its side, then I don't know.
Yeah. But I think it's a matter of, we as a society have got to figure out, how do we communicate best? And everybody communicates differently.
Yeah.
Everybody has a different way of communicating. Everybody has a different way of feeling comfortable. But I always know that if somebody has a problem, if there's an issue, if there's something that has to happen, nothing beats a telephone call unless you can be face to face. Because it's real time. You can actually sit there. You can have a conversation. You can figure things out. And there's nothing getting in between waiting for that next text message to get back to you, or that email to be sent, or, you know, and then all of a sudden something gets delayed and people get frustrated. You know, it's amazing how simply things get fixed when you can have a real conversation.
It doesn't take any longer.
It probably takes less time.
Anyway, that's the state of the world.
All right. So tell me about your book, Gary. Tell me about, why did you write the book, and what did you hope that people are going to learn from it?
Well, a lot of people my age, I'm 65. A lot of people my age just don't understand what social media can do for them, and they're not retired anymore. People are still working. They still have businesses.
Right.
And I thought it was important to share the story that what I've done. I mean, my last book was about how to start a successful business because that's what I know. My next book is going to be about startups. And that's the same thing. It's like, if you've been fortunate enough to learn all these lessons, why not share it, pay it forward?
Right. Yeah, because we all have experiences. We all have things that we've learned over the time. And as we get older, we get more experiences and more scars. But it's better to be able to sit there and put it down.
Yeah.
And give other people the benefit of your knowledge.
I mean, I used to call myself a coach, and then I didn't feel that was appropriate. Then I called myself a consultant. Mm-hmm. Then a counselor. I got a degree in counseling business. And then I said, to hell with all that stuff. I'm a mentor.
Right.
I've got such a diverse knowledge in so many different areas of business that just ask me a question, I'll tell you.
Well, and the world needs more mentors. No, seriously, they do. Well, I mean,
I charge big bucks for being a mentor, though. I mean,
that's right. I mentor at the university level, and you know, to kids that are in university or kids that have just left university.
Yeah.
And you know, the number one thing that I find from that generation is they're all in a rush. Everything has got to be done tomorrow, and everything's got to be immediate. I said, guys, when you look back when you're 50 years old, and you have the benefit of understanding time, you'll realize that patience is truly is a virtue. You know, and taking that extra 10 minutes or that extra hour, that extra day to just look at things, you know, the world is not going to change in a day. And you probably have a better perspective on things if you don't answer right away, or if you don't, you know, act right away and actually take a few minutes and think about it before you move forward.
Well, that's what I do in my personal business. You know, I research and I take my time to make a decision, and it might take me a week, but it's going to be the right one.
So what type of clients do you work with right now? I mean, right now, I know you're working in the financial industry. You know, why the financial industry? You know, and what are the benefits that you have to those particular people?
Well, after I wrote my book, I realized that, you know, I was going to get a lot of coaching clients and stuff like that. And then sort of soured on me a little bit because every 3 months you got to look for a new client, right?
Right.
So a friend gave me an opportunity to get into private financing, which I'd never done before. So at 63, I decided to get into a new field. And I love it because what I'm working with is disruptive technologies, meaning high-tech companies that are coming up with new ways of doing old things.
And right.
They typically are in their 20s. I mean, I get juiced. I get juiced from that. So my clients tend to be innovators, young people that want to listen, and more so they want help.
Right.
And they're not just saying that. You know, they'll suck it up like crazy. I've got two young ladies who own a yoga studio in Richmond. They send me an agenda before our meetings. I love it.
Perfect.
Because I wing it. They give me an agenda. Both of them take notes. It's very incredible. And I'm because they're so into help, I'm sharing with their success because, you know, when they tell me something exciting, it does something to me. So I enjoy that stuff.
Well, it keeps you young.
Yeah.
It keeps you young and it keeps you learning. I mean, that's the thing is that we learn as much from our clients as we teach them.
So I think my oldest client would be, well, that's not fair. One of my clients is in his 70s, but that's an anomaly.
Right.
Mainly they're under 40.
Perfect.
And they're looking for that gray-haired CEO guy. I've got a client in Seattle who calls me his ghost because he's got 5 partners and he's terrified of making a mistake because it's a high-tech industry.
Sure.
And every major decision, he calls me up. So I'm his ghost CEO, he calls me. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if more CEOs did that, they'd probably be in better shape.
Absolutely. Well, the trick is with CEOs, and I found over the years, is they have no one to turn to. I mean, really, I mean, a lot of the times they're the top of the food chain. They're the one who are expected to know everything and, you know, and be able to make a decision at the moment's notice. But guess what? They need someone to hash things out with as much as anybody, if not more. And that's why it's valuable for those people to have either coaches or mentors or entrepreneur groups or whatever that they can rely on to be able to sit there going, guys, I got a problem. I've never dealt with this before. Help. And the more we can help each other and the more we can work with each other, the better off we all are.
I'm running into a lot of disruptive technologies who the CEOs have a plan to replace themselves.
Yeah.
And that wasn't heard of a few years ago.
No, and that's healthy.
It's very healthy. I think that they're starting to realize that there's more to learn and they don't know it all yet.
Exactly. So Gary, I'm going to ask you one last question. And that question is the one I ask everybody. When you walk out of a meeting and you close your door and you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not in the room?
Oh, jeez. I want people to know that I listen and I'm going to give them the straight answer. And let me give you an example. I was coaching this guy for a number of years, one of my first clients. And one day he called me up. He said, I want to buy 3 radio stations. What do you think? And I said, you're an idiot. And he proceeded to, and he's calling me from South America.
Right.
And he spent the next 2 hours trying to convince me. And I said, wait a minute. This is a coaching session, and you want me to give you the answer you want to hear.
Uh-huh.
It's the wrong answer. He said, well, I'm going to buy it anyway. I said, I know you are. And I'll see you in 3 months when it fails. Well, he lasted 4.5 months.
Well, good for him. You got an extra month and a half out of it.
Yeah, so I listen, and I give good advice, and I think people respect that I'm sincere and straightforward with them.
That's perfect. Well, I'll put a link to Gary's website, but it's GaryBizzo.com. Gary, you have been an absolutely wonderful guest. hang out in the green room. I'll just going to say goodbye to everybody, and then we'll just catch up. So, hang
okay, man. Thank you, Ben.
Hey, thanks for being here. So thank you guys very much for joining us at the very last show of 2017. Gary is always entertaining to speak to, and I hope you enjoyed it. Once again, this is the Your Living Brand.live show. Every Wednesday at 10 o'clock Pacific time, we talk to another guest. We want to find out what makes them special, what makes them unique, what makes them different, and why people care. Why should people care about your business? What are you doing? What are the little things that you're doing to tell your clients that you care about them and explain your value in ways that they can understand and engage with? That's what makes us all different. That's what makes us valuable. So Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, my company, yourbrandmarketing.com, works with customers to find out what makes them special, what do they do, who do they do it for, what's your value to these people, and why these people should care. Come talk to us. We'd love to speak with you. Anyway, have an absolutely wonderful and happy new year. Health, happiness, peace, and prosperity in 2018. And we will see you on January 3rd for another episode. Take care. Have a great day.